Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to John chapter 5. We're looking at a topical series having to do with mental health. This is not typically the way we do things. We typically just have a book of the Bible and we go through verse by verse, chapter by chapter, but God put it on my heart to do this three-part series, and so I want to be obedient, and I believe that this is definitely something God wants us to focus on. And so this Sunday, our main text is going to be in John chapter 5, and it'll be the first 15 verses. Before I read the text, let me say that the theme today is essential steps toward wholeness. Essential steps toward wholeness. The first of those steps, and we're gonna get to the text, fear not. The first of those steps is overcoming denial. Whether you have an addiction issue or whether you have some sort of mental problem or whether you have some other sort of physical problem, if you're going to get help, if you're going to get well, you've got to admit that you've got a problem and that you need help. If everyone around you seems to be a jerk, it may not be them, okay? If you go from one horrible boss to another horrible boss to another horrible boss to another horrible boss, and you think the cure is to start your own business, you may not be thinking clearly. If it's marriage after marriage after marriage, and somehow you just can't find the right person, maybe that's not the issue. I've dealt with people with all kinds of problems, and let me tell you, denial is the first thing you got to get past. Whatever it is, people have got to recognize we've got a problem. And by the way, all of us have a problem. When God tells us all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, the reason for that is because all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. When the Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray, it's because all we like sheep have gone astray. We've all got a problem. Now, we don't all have the same symptoms and the same cluster of problems and the same background and the same challenges. It's not that everybody's just the same, but we do have in common the fact that all of us are fallen, sinners by nature, and we live in a world that's under a curse. And so, I mean, there's just plenty of reason that we find life challenging. And even after we get saved, we've still got the old man that we have to mortify, in the words of the Puritans. We got to put it to death. It's an ongoing process. So, overcoming denial is the first of the essential steps. The second is recognize that you're not living in a neutral zone. You and I not only have a sin nature, the flesh, the old man, we not only live in a world that is marred by sin and under a curse, but we have an adversary, the devil. And if we're going to understand what God says about our physical health, our emotional health, and our spiritual health, we can't just leave that part out. We have to recognize the reality of the adversary and the fact that our body, mind, and spirit are related. They're all interconnected. One has an impact on another. So, you got to recognize the connection to the spirit realm. I asked a psychiatrist once, I wasn't in therapy with him at the time. He was a guest speaker at our college, and I said, under what circumstances would you consider the possibility that one of your patients might be troubled by demons? And he said, well, I would consider that if I couldn't find a physiological or a psychological diagnosis. And I said, as you look at the New Testament and the stories of various people who were demonized, are there any for which you would not have a physiological or psychological diagnosis? And he said, no, there are not. And I said, so if this Thursday at your office in Manhattan, they bring you someone who is very reminiscent of the guy in Mark chapter 5, would you consider the possibility that there might be demonic involvement? He said, no, I would not. I said, why? He said, because I've been trained in what to do for a paranoid schizophrenic. I have no idea what to do for a demoniac. Now, am I saying that all mental illness is a manifestation of demons? No, I'm not. Am I saying that all physical illness is a manifestation of demons? Definitely not. But if you think that the devil is going to stand back and that all of his demons are going to be told, stay in place, stay in place, it wouldn't be fair to attack that person. They have a physiological problem. It would not be fair to attack that person. They have a mental problem. They have been through emotional trauma, and so we must be kind and not attack them. If you think that's the way the enemy operates, you're clueless, okay? The Bible says that Satan goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And guess what? Lions don't say, I'm going to go for the healthiest, fastest antelope I see. They go for the young, the old, the weak, the infirm. That's what they go for. So if you and I are going to understand the nature of our problem and the environment in which we must seek healing, we've got to recognize we've got an adversary.
Thank you for listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood.
Did you know that along with being an excellent Bible teacher, Pastor Wood has authored over a dozen books? We'd like to encourage you to visit pastorwood.org for resources and books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. You can also listen to or download teachings by Pastor Wood 24/7. Please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. This is God's word. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now, there is in Jerusalem, near the sheep gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here, a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath, and so the Jews said to the man who'd been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow and who told you to pick it up and walk?" The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. I have a question for you. Do you have any problems? Okay, if Jesus walked in physically right now, just walked in, came over to you and said, is there any problem you'd like me to help you with? What would you say? I mean, it's worth thinking about. You don't have to blurt out your answers, please. But think about it. What would you want help with? Jesus said to a guy whose problem was unmistakable. You could look at him and see he was paralyzed. When you're paralyzed for a long time, your limbs atrophy. And so this guy looked like somebody who'd been paralyzed a long time, because he had been. But Jesus asked him a question. Do you want to get well? Let me just tell you that in doing pastoral counseling for decades now, one of the things that becomes very, very apparent is that there are a lot of people who won't admit they have a problem. But there are a whole bunch of other folks who'll admit they've got a problem, but they're not really ready to give up their problem. They're kind of comfortable with their problem. I mean, you know, I know it's a bummer, and I know, but I'm telling you that if you want to get well, you have to want to get well. Not just get improved. Tragically, our adversary, the devil, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, will try to get us to hang on to our problems. Because he sure doesn't want you to be well. And so he will do what he can to get you to find your identity in your problem. Okay? It's just the way I am. Okay? I can't help it. I can't change. You know, it runs in my family. I've been this way since I was a child. If you so embrace your addiction that it's just who I am, you're going to stay addicted. If you believe the devil's lie that you cannot change, you're not going to change. You're only going to get worse. The word repent is a message of hope, because what it says is, you don't have to keep going that way. When he says repent, he is saying to us, you are headed in the wrong direction. Turn around. Don't keep repeating the same mistake over and over and thinking, well, it's just the way I am. I can't change. You can't on your own, but you can say, Lord, change me. I want to do your will. And you can believe what he says about giving you a new identity in Christ. To be born again means you're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. But your adversary, the devil, has not changed. And his lying spirits are going to come to you and say, I know you. You can't change. You can't be different. You can't. You just are kidding yourself. How long do you think this is going to last? Don't find your identity in your problem. Find your identity in Christ Jesus. And recognize that it is a journey, not just one step. Get started and don't quit. Get started. It's a journey. Get started. Well, that's a long journey. Yeah, but it starts with a step and then another step and then another step and then another step. Every day I get up thinking I've got to walk today. My foot hurts. My foot does hurt. But I've got to walk. Because if I don't, my heart will hurt. I'd rather have pain in my foot. So I walk. And I'll have to do it again tomorrow. Do you ever think of quitting? Yes. Every day. Every day I think, well, you know, it really wouldn't be so bad to go to heaven. And then I think, no, Susan wants me here. But here's the thing. You need to get started doing the right thing, believing what God says, and then don't quit. Don't quit. Well, what if someday you don't take as far into the journey as you should? Well, then the next day you get up and you start again. You don't say, well, I blew it, that's it, I'm done. Don't be intimidated by what the goal is. Just keep your eye on the prize and keep on going. Amen? Next essential step, embrace the truth. Embrace the truth. God's word is truth, and you and I need to believe and put into practice what God says. Embrace the truth, not just regarding the problem. I shared with our staff at our last monthly meeting one of the statements about Abraham, which is that he acknowledged the fact that physically he was as good as dead, and Sarah too, but he still believed God was going to give them a son. See, faith, like Abraham, doesn't mean saying, no, I'm not old. I'm still full of vim and vigor. He didn't. He recognized the fact that his body was ancient and that he was not in the best physical shape to father a child. And Sarah, dead also. Okay? The Bible says he recognized that, but it didn't undermine his faith because his faith was not in his virility and his wife's fertility. His faith was in God. And you and I need to embrace the truth, which means acknowledging our problems, but looking beyond them to God and believing him, trusting him. Believe the good news. Believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. Believe what God says about you.
Well, I don't deserve to go to heaven. That's a truth. You need to believe that, but you need to look beyond that. God doesn't say, and those of you who deserve it, I will let into my kingdom. Nobody would be there. So embrace the truth. Two more points. Give no room for the enemy. Ephesians 4:27 says, don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Have you ever tried to stop it? Okay. No! I want to be mad a little longer. Okay? Not allowed. There are many sins that give the devil a foothold. That's the next phrase. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. Don't give the devil a foothold. Many sins give the devil a foothold. None more commonly than unforgiveness. The number one thing when I'm ministering to people in terms of spiritual bondage, the number one thing that opens the door for satanic forces in your life is refusing to do what God commands and forgive others. If you hold on to bitterness, if you refuse to forgive, you have just invited the enemy to have a place in your life. Jesus teaches us how to pray. And at the end of the prayer, there is only one part of the prayer that he goes back and reemphasizes. And it's forgiveness. It's essential. He said, if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. Excuse me, Do you know what this person did to me? Better than you do. I'm not saying I do. I'm saying God does. God knows everything about the horrible stuff you've been through. He also knows about the horrible stuff you've done. And he says, I'm willing to forgive you of everything. Now, you need to forgive whatever has been done to you, whatever it is. That's why we emphasize the fact that forgiveness and trust are not the same thing. God does not command you to trust your abuser. God does command you to forgive. Well, what does that look like? It means you're no longer the judge. You turn that over to God. God says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. And once you realize God's going to handle this, he'll continue to work in your heart, and you're going to become more like Jesus, and you may start to pray, Father, forgive them. Do not hold this sin against them. Where does that come from? God. We become like Jesus. But are you willing to be made like Jesus? Do you want to be made like Jesus? No, I'd rather hold on to my unforgiveness. Well, that thing that's eating you up from the inside, it's a warning. God is mercifully warning you that if you don't forgive, you are not experiencing his forgiveness. He will not forgive people who say no to his grace, who think the grace is only supposed to be for me, but I'm not supposed to be a channel of grace. Jesus says it doesn't work that way. You've got to forgive. I've got to forgive. Because he forgives us. Give no room for the enemy. And when you are assailed by his lies, you need to do what God says. And that starts with praising him. We sang it this morning. The powers of darkness fear when this sweet song they hear. May Jesus Christ be praised. As we praise the Lord in the darkness, the powers of darkness fear. Paul and Silas were in the prison cell. They'd been hideously abused. Their rights as Roman citizens completely violated. They're in horrible physical pain. They're in the innermost cell, which is the darkest, dankest place in the prison. They are in chains in the middle of the night, and they sure can't sleep. Around midnight, they're singing praises to God. And God not only got them out of prison, but he gave them the opportunity to start a church. I'm just telling you. These are essential steps toward wholeness. We have got to recognize that Satan's number one weapon against us is lies. And we've got to respond by embracing the truth. That means all the truth. Truth about ourselves, truth about our problems, and the truth about our God. Our God reigns. Believe the gospel and don't give the devil a foothold in your life.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.